This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The DC not allowing him to get in goal line.
Daniels, quick pass, caught in the end zone. It's Terry McLaurin for a Commanders touchdown.
Two of them to Terry in the first half. One of them following that fumble, which Washington got possession at the Giant 31. Big pass interference penalty down to inside the five, and then a really good low ball on a slant to Terry. And then the one at the end of the first half, spectacular. We've seen a bunch of those. What the Giants were doing in that situation, who the hell knows? But sometimes when you're playing a team that can't find their backside with both hands, you got to take advantage of it. And they did that in a couple of those instances yesterday. 27-22 winners, 7-2 for the first time since 96. Pittsburgh awaits Sunday in Landover. Big game. Ben Standing is with us every Monday at 12 noon, Fridays as well. He joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Ben writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe to it. He has a podcast called Last Man Standing, and he can be followed on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. He's out there. He was at the game yesterday. Let's just start where we start every week. Just give me your big takeaways from their seventh win in 9 games.
Yeah, you know, Dan Quinn talked about after the game that he told this team that, like, you know, he wants to see them not obviously beat the Giants, but put up a performance that would show how that they would be beating their themselves, the week two version of themselves, and to show how much they've improved. And I this resonated with me to an extent because, you know, go back to week two, and, you know, they came off a loss to Tampa, which looked like a lot of the trademarks we've seen of previous teams, previous Washington teams. And then you get to week two, and yeah, they don't score any touchdowns. They do score on every offensive possession, which was interesting and notable, but didn't quite get what that meant at the time. And then they did come back to win, but to a certain degree, it was like, all right, well, the Giants didn't have a kicker, and, you know, they're not that good either. And then you get to this game, and I mean, it was like, I just kind of expected this was going to happen. I mean, you know, if somebody says to you like that, your smell test ears must be burning, right? So I get that it's like you can't just sort of say that, but even when the Giants were sort of coming back a little bit at the end of the game, unlike years past where I might have been, you know, myself and anybody else watching this team would have been like, oh boy, here goes, they're going to blow this now. I didn't feel that at all. Like, it just was like, okay, well, they'll figure out a way to win, and that's what they did. And, you know, in and of itself, we can obviously there's some concerns with the run defense, the defense as a whole. We can point to some of the positive stuff. You know, the Jaden Terry combination just keeps clicking. But just in general, the fact that this team week in, week out shows up, plays hard, gives good effort, and is showing more and more that they understand what it takes to win, both going into a game, but also once you're in the moment. I mean, that to me is as impressive as almost anything else they've done outside of the quarterback. Because there's a maturity with that again is was unfathomable to consider for, you know, many of the previous, you know, years.
No, and it points back to, you know, the head coach on that kind of a thing. It really does. But the players get credit as well. But, you know, I said at the beginning of the show, one of the things that's impressive, and it's kind of what you said, is that when you have what you had last week, a lot of teams, a lot of immature teams, give it right back a week later, no matter who they're playing. And this team didn't. With that said, it wasn't a performance that was without flaw, without, you know, exposed weakness. And I'm curious as to, you know, what you think about this team defensively, what kind of limits it puts on their upside this year, and if they'll do anything about it between now and tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think it's pretty, you know, clear, right? The defense is, you know, there's still some concerns. I mean, we've been saying this all along. There obviously have been a few weeks here and there where they've looked really good going up against the Browns and the Panthers in particular, and I guess, you know, to some degree the Bears for three quarters last week. Excuse me. But you know, I mean, look, they have given up at least 95 rushing yards in every game this season. The last, you know, in three of the last four games, they've given up at least 164. The secondary, I still don't think there's, you know, I still don't think they've solved their cornerback concerns, even though they've been playing better lately. You know, Forbes didn't even play a snap on special teams yesterday. They really only have three corners. So just purely from a, even if you say, hey, they're not going to spend to improve on those three, they at a minimum need more depth. And you know, I mean, injuries happen and they don't have anybody right now. If you say, go play.
Yeah, Davis hasn't played. You told me yesterday or Friday, Davis hasn't played a defensive snap or very few since week two.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So I think those are areas that they would need. And then, you know, you look at the defensive line. You know, we'll talk to Dan Quinn today, see where they're at with Fedarian Mathis, who had was getting checked for a concussion yesterday. You know, they already lost John Allen, so if somehow Mathis were to miss any time, you know, now you're getting really thin there. The offense, it's, unless the Brian Robinson situation with his injuries, you know, escalates, you know, there's really not like anywhere where they desperately need some help, you know, more depth always, of course. And sure, if there's something akin to a playmaking receiver that's cheap, fine. But they clearly are getting by with Noah Brown and Zaccheaus and so on. So, you know, those are the areas I think you have to be concerned about. The defense in particular, I'm sure you've already said this, but these next two games against the Steelers and the Eagles, maybe they won't be the definitive end-all be-all of, like, showing us where Washington is. But it's going to be a sterner test than what they have faced most of this season when they've gone up against largely bad teams. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely concerns. I mean, the run game in and of itself, the run defense is, you know, definitely concerning. I don't know how to argue it otherwise. They've just been fortunate, as they were in this game, that they're up 21-7 at halftime, and the Giants, to some degree, have to go more to the passing game and not just be able to run the ball down their throat. But I there are concerns, but there's also not as many as, you know, I certainly would have thought, you know, going even just a few weeks ago.
Talking to Ben Standig, I don't think it was asked in the post game. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but just why Quinn didn't challenge the neighbor's catch, which was clearly short of the markers, and I think would have definitely been overturned.
Yeah, I wasn't in there for every second of Quinn, so it wasn't asked.
You know the play I'm talking about, right? The fourth and two that they went for.
Fourth and two,
first drive, second half.
He got hit like right at the line and pushed back, but they gave him the ultimate forward progress that one.
Yeah, the ball never got close to the line. Yeah, the body was at the line. The ball never got close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can do the whole ref thing every game, and I'm not saying you're doing that, but I'm saying, like, there were some weird calls in that game. Even, I mean, to be honest, the fumble that Washington recovered on the Daniel Jones hit, I'm like, the referee clearly blows the play dead before anybody even has possession. But I don't know what was going on with some of these calls. Again, we can probably quibble most weeks, but yeah, I don't know why Quinn didn't do that. My guess, I mean, if I had to guess, is just
they didn't have the replay.
7. Well, that, or it's 21-7. They're feeling pretty good about it. You know, like, not that you take anything for granted, but, like, you know, you want, you know, have, you know, keep your time out just in case for later, maybe more important than just that one play. But yeah, I don't know for sure.
No worries.
I mean, the Giants did pretty hustle pretty quick, right?
They did a great job. They knew it was short too. They got up there and snapped it, and Washington, perhaps, I'm guessing, they just didn't get the opportunity to see the play from the right angle before the Giants got a snap off, which that happens sometimes. I'm with you too on that first fumble, although by rule the play can continue after the whistle with a clear recovery counting. It's an interesting rule because they're you know, instructed to let the play out. How many times do we see an obvious incomplete pass, you know, that doesn't get ruled dead and somebody returns it for a touchdown and you're like, well, that's ridiculous. That was a waste of time. But they're doing it because they're instructed to let the play out. They didn't do that in this case. And when they blew it, Tyrone Tracy is actually the closest player to the ball. But didn't matter because he didn't have the first clear recovery. Wagner did probably 2 to 3 seconds after the play was whistled dead, or at least 2 seconds. Weird, but anyway. All right. I mean, Ben, this quarterback right now, yeah, it's almost impossible to imagine that he could play poorly. I mean, you can't rush him. You know, I think the pass pro is going to look great from, you know, an advanced number, because I don't think the Giants, even when they sent an extra rusher, I think they were trying to play contain and hoping that their coverage would hold up and hoping that he wouldn't run for, you know, 95 yards. He's probably as good a scrambler as we've seen, but each week it just keeps getting better. And I just read through the transcript, and Quinn made the same comment he made a few weeks ago. Just the cerebral part, him playing the position, not just being a great thrower or a great athlete. I mean, they're blown away impressed with him. I just can't believe that they thought it would be this good. Can you believe? I mean, do you believe they thought it would be this good?
No, I don't think it's realistic to, I mean, no, I don't think it's possible. I mean, you know, rookies have ups and downs. I mean, he apparently doesn't. I mean, you know, look, there's always the quibble. Could have thrown that better than this. But, like, relatively speaking, he's making, like, no mistakes, mental or physical. Yes, I mean, I guess we could say, hey, man, your slides are still kind of awkward. But, okay.
One was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's remarkable. And then it's not just like, you know, oftentimes when we're saying like somebody is like not making mistakes, that can maybe veer into, you know, a check down Charlie situation or a game manager or whatever. No. He's throwing, you know, the touchdown to the back shoulder pass to McLaurin for the touchdown was off the charts, especially considering, you know, what was, you know, it was right before the end of the half. You know, you kind of got to make this play or it doesn't happen. You know, he was daring enough to throw it in that spot and then put it in a ridiculously perfect pass. The one to Noah Brown where it gets, like, you know, in traffic right over the heads of the linebackers. You know, it's just another preposterous throw. You know, you mentioned the pass rush. You know, no sacks. And after the Giants had 5 in the first meeting, he barely even got touched. It felt this time, and I saw some stat online, apologies, I don't remember where this came from, but it was like basically the Giants sent more blitzes than they had in any game this year and still couldn't even, get.
But they
get
were measured, with the exception of that, the one safety blitz off the edge, which he made him look silly, you know, and turned that into a 16-yard run. That was kind of the awkward get down. But it looked more like we're going to send people, but we're not letting you get out, you know. And it didn't matter because he'll just shred you with his arm like he did against Baltimore when they didn't even have a running game.
Yeah, you know. I mean, look, this is incredibly anecdotal what I'm about to say, but, like, you know, in most games there's another reporter from The Athletic covering the other team. And, you know, usually if we're there and we talk for a little bit, you know, we do the standard bit, you know, you complain about work, you complain about your team, you complain about whatever. And even, or maybe you make fun of the other team, whatever struggles they're dealing with or whatever. Every week, whoever the other person is says to me at some point, wow, I was really impressed by Jaden Daniels today. I mean, you know, they watch quarterback play every week for many years. And, Jaden Daniels is always like, wow, that guy. I mean, nobody ever said that to me about no disrespect, but nobody ever said to me about Sam Howell or any of these other guys recently, which isn't to say that they weren't playing okay at times. It's just to say you do this long enough, you can see the difference between fine and wow, what is that? And Jane Daniels is just generating so many of those comments. Also from the other team, like I read some of the Giants transcripts, and you know, I mean, there was no sense. I don't see any sense from anybody just trying to dismiss what Jane's doing. They're not going, well, you know, we could have done this, we could have done that, we would have slowed down. Everybody's like, nah, wow, that guy, he is really he's really impressive. They got a quarterback, and you know, we don't know what's going to happen next week, and so on, but boy, it's really just, you know, off the charts crazy, just how well week in, week out he impresses with his throwing, with his athleticism, with his mind, and then, you know, again, then he comes into the press conference with us, and you would think he just, he's just waiting around to get his, corned beef sandwich at the deli. He's not that emotional. He's not that pressed. I get more emotional when I go to the Parkway Deli to get a corned beef than he does when he's after a game throwing these passes.
Corned beef sandwich. Yeah.
Oh, it's very good, yeah.
Yeah. Talking to Ben Standing. So, you know, we've seen Johnny Newton, emerge, and I thought he played pretty well yesterday, even though defensively it was not a good day. I thought Chin actually, to me, had the most eye-popping plays because they do play hard, you know, defensively. On offense, so I just pulled up the snap count because I was curious to see where Luke McCaffrey was in terms of snap counts. He was out there for 23 offensive snaps. He didn't get targeted once. I bet you I'm going to go watch this game and find out, like we have recently, that the guy's probably open. I'm wondering why Luke McCaffrey has not gotten much in his way at all.
They've obviously been pretty balanced to a certain degree with the receivers not named Terry McLaurin. You know, some games it's been a Noah Brown game, others Zacchaeus. Diami's had some bigger plays. And, yeah, I mean, you're right. I think McCaffrey's probably been quieter than those guys. But if I had to guess, I would just say the ball just hasn't found him the way that maybe it has for others. I mean, I think he's, he's been, showing some good signs over the course of the year. I definitely think they like what he's doing. I just, relatively speaking, he's just maybe the one, sort of getting left out to a certain degree. It's hard to say. I haven't had a chance to go watch the game back yet, but don't know how much I'm going to isolate myself watching him. But at the same time, the other guys are making plays. Noah Brown keeps being this big target for them. He's drawing pass interference penalties. Zacchaeus, the numbers aren't like overly robust just because like they're passing, they have so many different guys they're throwing the ball to, but he's giving them so much of, what people, I think, were, at least generally speaking, hoping they would get at Jahan Dotson, in terms of, playmaking out of the slot and being a tough player and, all that kind of stuff. Plus he's also handling the return game, the punt return game. And, Diami, maybe he's only getting a couple touches a game, but it certainly feels like most games he's good for like a 20-plus yard play. So, that they have guys, not to mention, Eckler's catching passes out of the backfield, the tight ends, whatever. So, yeah, I think it's just odd man out more than it is like anything else.
Brandon Coleman played every single snap. Cornelius Lucas down yesterday. Moving forward, first of all, this was eventually the plan anyway, for Coleman to take the majority, if not all, of the snaps. We may be there already. I want your comment on that. And then just any other injuries in Brian Robinson Jr. for Pittsburgh, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, we may not find out too much on those fronts until Dan Quinn talks on Wednesday. But, the Robinson thing, I think, has got to be a little concerning. He tried to go pregame, looked like he was having a tough time of it, again, in terms of being able to play. So we'll have to see where this goes. He missed week six of the knee. This is a hamstring. He obviously runs so hard that, he puts a hurting on the other on the defender, but obviously he's absorbing the blows as well. So definitely a bit concerning, but concerning only to say, like, the unknown. I don't know that it's any kind of a long-term issue, but at the same point, not enough to play. By the way, like, you know, last week they let Jaden Daniels go with his rib injury, and here they sat Robinson. You know, even though a lot of the reports from the national folks, like the day before, were suggesting that he was, you know, heading towards a good outcome, and then, you know, it went the way that it went. So I think that's a little bit concerning. As far as the tackle goes, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I know they were using, you know, some chips and some help in certain positions to fend off the Giants pass rushers. But again, if you're part of an offensive line that gives up no sacks, barely had the quarterback touch, and they've got guys on that line who are pretty formidable, you know, that says something as a group of what they did. And obviously Brandon Coleman was, you know, a part of that. So you're right. I think this is, you know, it wouldn't stun me if Lucas is healthy this week, that we've reached the point where Coleman's in there. I mean, yesterday was the first game this year where the five starting offensive linemen played every snap, obviously, because they kept rotating at left tackle. Last week, Wiley missed one play, so that's why that didn't count. But yeah, you know, eventually this is what you want, right? You want the rotation thing is not normal, so eventually you want this, and you want it to be the third round pick that you're hoping could be your tackle for the future. So yeah, I think we may have hit that inflection point in that left tackle dynamic.
All right, good job. I'll talk to you later. Appreciate it.
As always, man, see ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. All right, let's go around the league. Philly.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One, but it was a lot closer than it needed to be. We'll get to a lot of that stuff next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.